Welcome to episode 77 kami, our seventh episode of Indotechno. I'm Alan Hallowell, founder of startup advisory firm Gizmo Advisors and venture partner at Alpha JWC Ventures. As always, pendengar Indonesia dapat membaca transkrip bahasa Indonesia kami. In our continuing quest to uncover the most fascinating and dynamic parts of the Indonesian technology ecosystem, we are pleased to have as our guest Cleo Sintranding, founder of Pasar Polis. Pasar Polis is a leader in Indonesia's online insurance movement. I personally find this space fascinating because unlike, say, ride-sharing or online video, where we are talking about taking well-established offline behaviors, whether that's grabbing a taxi or watching a movie, and simply migrating them online, Indonesia is not a market with much history of basic insurance adoption, neither online nor, more fundamentally, offline. Cleo, really pleased to have you here to walk us through this very dynamic area. Could you first share with our audience your background and the origin story of Pasar Polis?
Thank you very much, Alan, for having me today. It's great to be here and to speak to your audience. A little bit about myself. My name is Cleo Randing, founder and CEO of Pasar Polis. What started me to go into insurance was that previously I was in digital marketing. And a lot of insurance companies have started to go digital. And we do see that there is a strong movement towards how digital can be not only a channel of distribution, but actually becoming a very important way of how people buy and experience insurance. So since then, I started Pasar Polis end of 2015 and towards 16. And since then, in 2018, we partnered with the three largest unicorn, Gojek, Tokopedia, and Traveloka, to really democratize insurance for all. How we make insurance access becomes available for a majority of people in Indonesia. And we've just started, so I think it's still a long way to go.
Cleo, let's dive right into it. Indonesia's insurance penetration relative to GDP remains very low. According to the OECD, Indonesia's insurance spending in 2018 was only 1.79% of its GDP, lower, for instance, than Malaysia at 4.4% and much lower than the OECD average of 8.92%. Moreover, growth seems to have been very slow. Between 2011 and 2018, Indonesian spending on insurance only grew by 0.16 percentage points from 1.63% of GDP in 2011. The insurance growth in Singapore, on the other hand, grew by 2.66 percentage points to 9.02%. Can you provide some context here, Cleo?
Yeah, I think that basically Indonesia insurance has vast potential, but as you rightly mentioned, it has been dragged with inefficiency. For example, agency has been the number one channel to buy insurance, but it has not been perfect. So that inefficiency and also where there is high cost structure because there is lack of distribution of infrastructure of the traditional insurers, I think remains to be a challenge to us and an area for us to solve. So I think that if we can do that well, given all those challenges, to be honest, the market has vast potential. It has in aggregate maybe close to about 20 billion, 5 billion in general insurance, about 13.2 billion in life insurance. So I think the growth has also started to grow. InsurTech especially has grown very, very fast. So we think that with the right industry support and with the right customer experience, that will be a key catalyst to how we can make insurance becomes more accessible. And also the fact that if we can make the distribution channel more efficient, that way the price of insurance would also go down.
Cleo, would you agree with my introductory remarks that unlike ride sharing, where you're simply cutting over from years of taking a Bluebird taxi to maybe a Gojek or a Grab car, or taking your movie watching from the movie theater to online, we don't have some of the basic insurance purchasing behaviors to begin with. So are you faced with a much more manifold educational and behavioral change challenge than a lot of the rest of the internet economy?
That's a very good question, Alan. And we do believe how we can make sure that insurance becomes part of people's day-to-day life. And what we do at Pasar Polis, for example, is that when you click and you send your items through GoSend, for example, you are being offered insurance right there and then. So to make sure that buying insurance becomes as frictionless as possible is extremely important in a market where we want to fractionalize or make buying insurance not a big event, but instead something that are frictionless. And we want to create a way for people to buy insurance accessible because it is affordable and as well as it's a piecemeal basis. So that's what we do on multiple millions and millions of transactions on Tokopedia or Gojek or CityLink, where we now do about 50 million policies a month. So it shows that actually that education is there. For example, people are being educated about insurance, but the way people buy insurance has a lot of friction. And that's where we see there is opportunity. Because maybe I'll give an example. When we started selling protection insurance for Gojek drivers, actually right now, Pasar Polis has over 100,000 drivers that pays every month. And when we see this, we see that actually people understand insurance and they like to have that protection, that peace of mind. But if buying insurance, you have to speak to an agent or it has a lot of friction to buy in terms of buying and at the same time also in terms of claims. So if we can remove the friction of those area on one side is how easy it is to buy, just a checkbox or something very simple. And on the other hand, we make the claim very fast. And Pasar Polis has been able to reduce claim time from traditionally maybe more than a week to right now where we can give claims to be done instantly. So within seconds of the trigger or the loss happens, we can create insurance where the FNOL, which is called first notice of loss, close to zero by using technology to really make claim experience vastly different. And I think that's where we see opportunity. Third area is about how we can create better underwriting through data and utilizing data to then be able to figure out the right pricing, seeing insurance as a data-driven exercise where the underwriting can be done dynamically with data from a lot of digital platforms.
Listening to part of your description, in many ways, the analogy is not waiting for the consumer to close on his or her first big ticket insurance purchase, whether it's home or life, but actually bringing the opportunity to them with smaller ticket, more frictionless insurance opportunities. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. I think it's about how we can create insurance becoming a part of people's life. I think that the next generation, the millennials, how they buy insurance is no longer like when I am 30, I bought my first life insurance, and that was a big event. But more of everything you do, you have peace of mind being offered, and you can check on it. You can click on it, and it also is very, very affordable. And by utilizing data, you can actually reduce the price of premium. By reducing the cost of distribution, you would lower down premium. And at the same time, utilizing technology to really make claim super simple and frictionless. So it becomes like a gift. And if you see that claim is actually very simple, you would be buying more product. So most of our customers are first-time insurance buyers. And most customers, more than 60%, buys again. So multiple, more than one product that they have. And we do about 50 million policies a month. So we see that there is a significant opportunity in Indonesia digital economy to create a solid ecosystem for online insurance, whether it is in e-commerce, in online travel, ride-hailing online delivery, or anything. Because we think that Indonesia market for digital economy can reach about 100 billion by 2025. If we can take about, say, 3% of that where people start buying insurance in every single aspects of their purchases, then that can be a 3 billion insurance potential. And I do believe that Indonesia is a very large home-based market, but throughout Southeast Asia, we see a lot of inefficiency in terms of where we can actually make people buy insurance. So making it frictionless for them is extremely important in my mind. To be able to buy insurance in a very simple way to buy, a simple way to claim. So when we talk about micro, it's actually micro policy because it has micro benefit. It has a very simple benefit, but also micro claim because claim is becoming very fast and very simple.
Cleo, I heard you reference regional opportunities. Is that part of the game plan at all, or do you see the Indonesian market as more than enough as the focus of your next few years?
We see Indonesia is enough. It's a big market. But having said that, naturally, insurance is not an Indonesia problem. It is a general problem. And we do believe that how traditionally insurance in the Southeast Asia region remains to be a challenge. When we are in Vietnam, we see that there is significant challenge there. When we are in Thailand, we see significant challenges there. We think that there are areas where we can create a presence where the incumbents do not have strong foothold. So traditionally, that has been a challenge, and we do believe that there are opportunities. Being a Southeast Asian company, how we can actually drive Southeast Asia forward because they can live a more worry-free life. And we are excited for that opportunity because we think that Southeast Asia has a lot to offer. It is a growing economy, and we feel that the opportunity in insurance is actually very, very big.
Now, Cleo, if I'm not mistaken, offline insurance channels still currently contribute more than 95% of insurance premiums. How should we think about the growth of online as a channel?
Yes, I think you are right. Of course, even moving forward, we do see that the offline channel will be a large part of insurance because large ticket size item, we do think that offline will be prevalent. So we see a lot of opportunity in more bite-sized insurance, in more micro insurance, but also I think towards the digital consumers. So as more people, the millennials prefer to buy insurance digitally, we do believe that the insurance technology or digital insurance will grow at incredible speed because of a much more efficient distribution channel, a much more data-driven underwriting, and also a much easier and simpler instant claim technology that's available. So we think those are the three areas. And when we think that how the millennial prefers to buy insurance, actually a lot of them prefers to buy online. How can we create a frictionless way to buy insurance will become an interesting development in how the growth of insurance throughout Southeast Asia will move, in my mind, at an incredible growth potential.
You mentioned earlier that Pasar Polis partners with many of the larger Indonesian platforms such as Gojek, Tokopedia, and Traveloka. Can you give us an example of one of the more popular products they have jointly developed with one of these partners?
We developed with Gojek, for example, a contextual insurance. So there are different types of contextual insurance, such as if you send your item through GoSend, there is an insurance built in there. And also, if you want to buy the premium insurance, which has much larger coverage, much better coverage, you can also check that checkbox. So we see that contextual to be big because we think buying it very simple, buying this type of insurance where it covers that particular context is very important. We have the same thing on Tokopedia. A lot of the product, whether you buy clothing, whether you buy a lot of different items, furniture, we have what we call the total loss insurance, the total loss damage, which covers two things. In the case that the item is being damaged, as well as in the case that through wear and tear, that item is being damaged. So we create an additional protection where people have peace of mind when they buy something, it lasts for a certain period of time. So that has been very, very promising. We sell millions and millions of these policies, creating a new economy and a new source of distribution for large digital businesses. Other than that, we also partner with large channel. For example, with Gojek, we are building GoSure with them, where we now sell a lot of consumer insurance online in a way where buying it will be within two clicks and within seconds. We also partner with Dana on creating Dana Siaga. And in that is that it's super easy where you can click on buying health insurance, COVID insurance, any type of insurance in Dana Siaga, and it takes maybe less than a minute to just buy your insurance product so that you are protected. So we see that multiple products, as we continuously develop more and more innovative products, we truly believe that there is significant opportunity in this large platform to make sure that we can reach the customers at the right time, offering the right product that really fits to their needs.
What role does regulation play in Pasar Polis's considerations? How does Indonesia's regulatory regime compare with other jurisdictions?
I think that the regulatory in Indonesia has been very, very supportive, largely because they see that technology and insurance technology is a clear way where people can democratize insurance. So the democratization of insurance through technology is probably the one of the only way where, because the cost of distribution is very low, that would enable the class SES B, C, D to be able to buy insurance. And because that through technology and only through technology, hundreds of thousands of Gojek drivers can buy insurance very affordably for less than a dollar. In a normal economy where you need agents, etc., that would not be possible. So the OJK and the regulator has been very supportive of technology because they clearly see that technology is a way where you can democratize insurance. And when we say insurance, it's more of a peace of mind towards majority of Indonesians. And let me say this, because we do believe that there are millions, maybe hundreds of millions of Indonesia where they need insurance the most, but they don't have access to insurance. Because for people like you and I and our listeners, most of them are blessed with a lot of resources. So in the case that the risk happened, we would be able to sustain our life. But how about people in the rural part of Indonesia, where if they, for example, fail in terms of their crop for that time, it would not be able to sustain the family. So we think that there is a lot of opportunity where the regulator can actually do to help democratize a feeling of a safety net or a worry-free feeling through technology and utilizing technology as a way to distribute insurance in a much more effective and efficient way.
Now, physical contact restrictions are impacting traditional offline sales of insurance in the COVID era. What changes has the pandemic triggered in terms of insurance adoption? And what other behavioral changes has Pasar Polis witnessed during this time?
The pandemic allows now insurance to be purchased online, which is really good development. And we do think that how digital distribution will be more prevalent in the future rather than meeting agents, insurance agents, for example. We do see that to be continuing post-COVID. So we are super excited with that development and how insurance can actually be bought digitally. We think that rather than having, for example, just insurance agents, we think that buying the right product online through digital platform like Gojek, Dana, Tokopedia, Bukalapak, and many of our other partners to be a different way post-COVID in terms of what would be a way to buy insurance.
A question for you, Cleo, around the broader competitive space. Pasar Polis is an industry leader in online insurance. How do we meanwhile think of platforms that are approaching insurance as an ancillary service to their own core offerings, such as health tech companies, online auto platforms, property portals, and other players?
There are actually a lot of these platforms where insurance becomes more and more prevalent as a way to make ancillary revenue. So we work together with them, be it health tech or be it online travel agent, be it any of those businesses. We do believe that probably when they are thinking about ancillary business for themselves and to answer to the consumer needs of their customer, insurance is a way, number one, to create peace of mind for their consumers for all different use cases. And number two, it gives a very large ancillary business because the revenue to the GMV from insurance is probably one of the highest, given that the nature of insurance being a digital goods. So we actually feel that there are a lot of new partners that can sell insurance to the consumer, be it they have a hotel and you want to create a different type insurance from a hotel cancellation to even something that are maybe more remotely related, maybe a home away insurance. where we work with airline and build a large ancillary business. Pasar Polis works exclusively with CityLink for all their flights, for example. And we see that now, despite the COVID, actually it has started to come back. So it's quite interesting to see a lot of digital businesses that can actually benefit from insurance sales.
And are some of these guys capable of building the solution themselves, or do you feel that they will necessarily need to partner with domain experts like yourselves?
Well, I think that your question says it well. It is non-core for them, and it is core for us. So we think that we actually are able to deliver a superior product compared to they built everything themselves. We do believe that how we work with large partners like Dana, Gojek, Tokopedia shows that actually we deliver value in terms of aggregating insurance product, the cheapest, the best insurance product, and also how our insurance panel partners, for example, be able to deliver the end-to-end insights of insurance business to our partner. So rather than build it themselves, they can really get much better return of their investment and time in terms of partnering with players, for example, like us.
So Cleo, another comparison question. China's overall insurance market has doubled over the past 6 years. It moreover has seen some of the strongest growth in online insurance adoption globally during this period. The big three platforms, Alibaba, Tencent, and Baidu, have played a major role in driving adoption from their respective leadership positions in e-commerce, as the case is for Alibaba, Tencent social networking, and Baidu in search. What compares and contrasts can you share as they relate to Indonesia?
Well, I think that Indonesia economy actually follows what China and the US has done. And Pasar Polis aims to continue to lead innovation to protect people's ways of life. So I think the way that has happened in China or in the US will happen in Indonesia. So when you mentioned about what Alibaba has done with insurance, we're building similar things with Tokopedia, for example. What Tencent has done with insurance in China, we're building similar platform in Gojek. So we see that there are numerous correlation to what has happened in China. US, for example, we are building innovative products in GoSure, just like what Lemonade has built in the US. So we see that there is a significant correlation to how Indonesia economy and also digital economy will learn, building great innovation around insurance products that are very consumer-centric, that are lovable for the customer because of the way that the product differs from traditional product and the way that the claims differs from the traditional product. So we think that what Lemonade has done in the US, we are doing the similar things in Indonesia through our partnership with Gojek. You are right to say that in this part of the world, having large partner is important because people education of insurance are still not as prevalent as in the US. So I think that would be the contrast and the difference, whereby in China, the insurance penetration is larger, or in the US, even much larger. In Indonesia, you do need to make sure it's more frictionless. So coming close to your customer becomes a Pasar Polis strategy to really partner with large platform. And we've partnered with most of the tier one partner, be it Tokopedia, Bukalapak, you know, Traveloka Group, or Gojek, and more others, because we do see that there is significant potential to give people a way to buy insurance in a very simple and meaningful way, and a frictionless way, if we could deliver the right product at the right place, at the right distribution channel.
Now, Cleo, you've mentioned that big data has played a massive role in driving aspects such as the ease of access to and the proper targeting, customization, and pricing of insurance products online. Can you give us some more insights into this?
Yes, absolutely, Alan. I think that number one, the way that we would think of insurance underwriting is very different. We want to use actual data to actually determine the insurance pricing, to actually determine how and when claims are being paid, to make sure that we can do smart instant claim. That requires tremendous amount of data. In order for us to understand green and red channeling, we need to understand and have automated risk assessment technology to be able to make sure that we have enough data lake. And also the ability for us to have the consumer data and behavior data, even cross-channel data insights through our partnership with numerous partners, will allow us to create, for example, scenario-based attributes. For example, if you go into mall, maybe we will then offer you a COVID insurance. At the same time, understanding your actual customer information will be able to understand what products would be best for your needs and your family needs. And we do believe that innovating using first dynamic pricing for insurance and using our joint data lake with our partner will enable us to improve our underwriting capabilities. For example, in the case of travel insurance, we can utilize travel frequency, real-time positioning, flight info and weather data to then determine the right price for insurance of that. For auto insurance, for example, we can use driving behavior, real-time positioning, and the type of vehicle people drive to understand what would be the risk of accident for a particular driver. Same thing as well with health insurance through the steps that they take, sports frequency, through heart rate data, etc., to be able to understand pricing for them. So more and more big data allows a more precise prediction of price and thereby reducing and eliminating inefficiency in pricing.
Continuing on this line of discussion, I spent a lot of time in my past life as an investment banking analyst looking at Zhongan Insurance out of China. One of his strengths as an online player was indeed to collect extensive data on customer behavior. By learning what customers do in particular situations, the company can offer customized products. Zhongan would typically take less than a month to develop a new product, which is about five times faster than a traditional insurance company. So what aspects of the Zhongan experience relate most to Pasar Polis?
Well, I think that how Zhongan proves to us that they are able to write hundreds of millions of policies in a month show that actually the size of insurance in digital economy to be very large. Their ability, as you rightly mentioned, to create product very fast show to us that actually building insurance through iteration can be done. And I think that also shows to the regulator that when we use data and make incremental product changes that are very consumer friendly, that would be good for the consumer. So we see that there is a lot of things that we can also learn from Zhongan, what they have done to build the scale of B2B2C partnership through insurance and creating a large business for the partner. Clearly shows that there is a lot of opportunity for other players in the region to also do the same thing. We also learn from people like Lemonade, for example, to create a very unique product. And creating this unique product, just like what we mentioned earlier, that are very different than the standard product that the incumbent insurers have, will enable us to target a different segment of consumer, the millennials, the younger generation, the digital consumers, to buy different type of product through us. And I think we learn a lot from different players, both in China, in the US as well.
Cleo, how does Pasar Polis think about the merits of acting as a third-party marketplace or an agent versus taking a principal role or underwriting the insurance relationship?
Pasar Polis believes that technology can make a difference in buying and the experience of insurance. So we do believe that our focus is actually building the right technology to help underwriter. The underwriter now has much more well-capitalized financial assets and also balance sheet to allow them to underwrite better. So our focus now is to work with underwriters and really build and innovate product together. And I think that even if, for example, Pasar Polis would incubate new products, we would still be working with underwriters because the way we see things in terms of our lens is collaborations. Collaboration with market leaders, and in this case, of course, the underwriter are much larger, be it how we work together very closely with Allianz, AIA, MSIG, and many other insurance partners of course, how we work very closely with the Sinarmas InsurTech, really also showcased that, hey, by working closely with them, we would be able to really leverage what we are really good at and leave the balance sheet and the investment part to people that know that part the best. And our focus is that building technology to really make insurance experience far superior. And that has been our key focus. Whether we may incubate certain product, where we may start to do a little bit of testing, or we take a little bit of the risk because we feel that by doing that, we will have skin in the game, that we are contemplating. But having said that, we do believe that at the end of the day, the underwriter have larger balance sheet, and it makes sense for them to continue to do so.
Understood. That's very clear. Cleo, can online insurance be a 100% mobile device-based experience in the future? Or will customers prefer using desktop to do things like thorough research before buying?
Well, I firmly believe so. I think that it's very clear that insurance will be more bite-sized in the future, and it becomes much more seamless way to buy insurance. So you will buy different type of insurance as you go through your day. And that way, of course, a mobile device experience of buying insurance in the future is very, very important. And I don't think that it would need a lot of research before you buy insurance, just like what happened now. Maybe this is important for buying, for example, your large life insurance. But for the most cases, we do believe in 100% mobile device experience as a way to buy insurance in the future.
Well, this concludes our seventh installment of IndoTechno. Thanks so much for joining us today, Cleo. The podcast was translated from English to Bahasa Indonesia by Alpha JWC Ventures. Terima kasih untuk mendengarkan. Sampai jumpa lagi.